Good. So this is a short version of a talk that I usually give about my journey from an old school cloud developer. I contributed a lot of code to OpenStack, went to Kubernetes, yada, yada. Okay. Recently, I got bitten by the molecular biology bug, and I ended up studying bioinformatics and doing a Master of Research in London recently. Right. Of course, I don't pretend nor expect to become an expert in biology, but I like to bring all the expertise I have in building clouds and stuff like that into this domain, right? So the project I did as part of this is what I'm going to highlight very quickly here. To begin with, we have two problems, which are, let's say, slightly relevant for this room, but it just gives an idea about what we're trying to achieve. So one of them is antigen specificity. Meaning, given an antibody sequence, will it bind to a given antigen? Just for simplicity, for example, the SARS-CoV-2 spike protein that all of us are fortunately familiar with from the pandemic. And it's a binary classification problem in machine learning terms. So meaning, like, is it going to bind? Yes, no, okay? In biological terms, it's not binary, but we simplify here. The other one is this called paratope prediction. So given the whole antibody, which positions in that sequence of amino acids, right, are going to bind with the antigen, meaning the foreign body that we are trying to prevent to cause trouble, right? And this one is a token classification problem, meaning that given a sequence of tokens, in this case one for each amino acid, which one of them has a positive label or negative label, okay? In doing this, we are comparing a large number of existing models that we're going to fine-tune for this particular task, okay? All in all, that resulted in around 600 tasks, okay, for both sequence and token classifications, most of them requiring GPUs. So it's not something that you just run on your laptop. It's something that requires a good amount of processing power, and that it requires also a good amount of orchestration, because all those tasks are chained, right? Or some of them parallelized, of course, and we require a lot of attention in the order in which you run them. So if you do it manually, besides taking forever, there is a very, very high chance that you're introducing human error. So both in terms of repeatability, but also reproducibility by other researchers, it becomes a nightmare. So I went out and looked, hey, what can I use to automate all these things? And I looked, of course, for directed acyclic graph solutions, which are very common, right? Two very common ones out there are, for example, Apache Airflow that I used here. And another one, very common in the scientific world, is Nextflow. Who heard about Apache Airflow till now? Okay. How many of you heard about Nextflow? Okay, so both of them are very popular. And then, of course, that thing is just the orchestration layer. You need to choose an underlying platform where to do that, right? Slurm, SGE, are something which are very common, right, in the scientific world, right, in the HPC world. But coming from OpenStack, Kubernetes, and so on, for me, of course, Kubernetes seemed a significantly more natural way to do this, and I wanted to see if it can work very well also for this type of HPC use cases. So here it's a quick overview of how the antigen affinity pipeline looks like. There are two of them, right? Again, this is a very short version of the talk, so I'm just focusing on one of the two. But you can see we have, to begin with, a lot of tasks that are needed to prepare the data sets. So we start with a raw file, a raw parquet file, basically, with all the sequences. We start clustering them, very important, because we don't want to have duplicates, which in terms of sequences gets also quite complicated, so I'm not going into the details. We need to split training and validation sets. Then we have a completely separated test data set, which has to be independent from the other for data leakage considerations, which has to be clustered as well, potentially undersampled if needed. And then we want to have a control in which we simply shuffle all the labels, so we want to see which are also the prediction we get on that. And then for each of the models, and we have a lot of them, for those of you familiar with the domain, Antiberti, Antiberta 2, ESM2, and so on. ESM2 may be familiar with you guys that come from the meta group. Some of them are very large models, right? The biggest one I'm used here has 15 billion parameters. And for all of them, you repeat the stuff which is in the blue box. The yellow smaller boxes are the tasks which require GPUs. So the core of that involves fine-tuning models, getting fine-tuned attention weights, and stuff like that. Okay. At the end of it, we have completely separate tasks, which are reports written in R. And if everything goes well, you get an email with the results. So the idea is that you start this thing in the evening, takes around 6 hours on a server that I used with two H100s on top, two NVIDIA H100s. And by the morning, you get an email, right? It's also made in a smart way, so that if a task doesn't need to be run, because I already processed, for example, that particular part of the pipeline, it doesn't repeat the whole thing, right? And the pipeline is made to be run automatically whenever you have change in the data sets, change in the code, and whatnot. Now, I'm trying to do a live demo, which is something relatively rare in a Lightning Talks. So this is the Apache Airflow interface. Okay. I take, for example, one of the prediction tasks, and I clear it. Okay. This will tell, if the network works, it will tell Airflow to start rescheduling that particular task, so not all of them, just that one, because we don't have the time. That will spin up, of course, it will contact Kubernetes through the operators behind and the executor we have. And Kubernetes will start scheduling a container, right? The big difference here is that compared to Slurm, for example, Kubernetes doesn't really have a scheduling solution which works very well for this type of task, right? That part of the work is, of course, entirely offloaded in this case to Airflow, which does a pretty good job with that. Keeps on retrying, basically, and scheduling a maximum number of tasks based on what your configurations are. Oh, it's already finished. And I can look here. So this is a big advantage, for example, compared to things like Nextflow, because all the output from my containers are coming out here, right? When that is finished, it goes here and starts. It sees that it already collected everything else. So it's going to go through the next task, which involves, for example, running all the reports and everything. Here, this is the R code generating an RMD. And at the end of it, it's going to send an email, okay? So if all went well, I'm going to have an email here, which just arrived, with all my results. I also simplified it for simplicity, running only two models here instead of all of them. I click on it, and I get all these nice metrics, you know, which show me comparisons between all the models, okay? In this case, against only two models, because simplicity, but this is how the whole thing looks like comparing all of them. You see all the models on the x-axis and the rest. So, for example, recall, FPR, F1, average precision, and so on. So it's very useful, you know, for running this stuff. Moving on, in terms of architecture, you have three main components. You have an Airflow REST API, you have your DAX which are running, you have a scheduler, and then a queue which runs on the worker, which is the third component. If you compare it with Nextflow, Nextflow will basically be the scheduler plus worker part, right? We saw these things. An important consideration is relatively to storage. We have here every single container which gets spawned running each individual task needs to have access to single shared storage. How do you do that? Well, in Kubernetes, you have so-called CSIs, you know, the drivers basically for storage. You need to pick one that has read-write-many, meaning that you can share the same PVC, right, the persistent volume claim, to all of those containers which are running in parallel, so that they can share both the code, the storage, and so on. Two great examples in that case are Ceph for production, or NFS for POCs, right? So both of them work pretty well, and they solve the problem. Of course, Ceph is better for, of course, production use cases. Optimizations, you have a CUDA. Again, here I'm not entering in the details, but I'm using time slicing for this particular case. I'm sharing my two GPUs between all those models. But you can do MIG if you want more security, more multi-tenancy, or you can use MPS, but it's currently in a experimental stage in the Kubernetes device plugin. Right? And then for scaling, since you want to share this model across multiple GPUs, you want to have, of course, Hugging Face Accelerate, which I'm using for my models, and Deep Speed, which basically allows you to split your models across multiple GPUs and across multiple nodes. You have 3 degrees there, one from 1 to 3. One allows you to do less sharing, but it's less problematic to configure, and the third one allows you to do more distribution of the data, but it's more complicated to configure. But you saw here uses the level 3. Last but not least, I think that I will explore more for the talk in the future, because I'm currently porting this pipeline also to Nextflow. Very often people ask me which is better, Airflow or Nextflow. In reality, there is no better option. It's just that very shortly, one is Python, the one is Groovy. One uses very opinionated DSL. The other one is just Python code. One has an easy learning curve. Nextflow, it's a bit steeper. Nextflow, it's more HPC oriented if you want. But most important, Nextflow has an extremely strong NF community, which is an NFCore on the biology side, which is not present, of course, on Airflow. And in my opinion, for example, coming also from the OpenStack experience, community is way more important than code. You know, if there is a community, you can fix the code, right? So that's why I think it's very interesting to port now this pipeline to Nextflow and see what's coming next. Okay, thank you. I'm done with this. Okay.
We have time for one question. Yeah, while the next speaker can line up. One question.
Yes, that's the next step. Yes. Okay, that was a quick question.
Yeah,
no, I should repeat it. Am I going to port this after Nextflow also to NFCore? Yes, that is the plan. Okay. All right, thank you so much, guys.